Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josias and Adam.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 184. I'm Josias, at For the Villain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. I'm here with one of my best friends and co-host, filling in for my boy Adam Garza, my boy Pablo Arellano.
What's up, people?
All right, man. First of all, thanks for coming by. I totally appreciate it.
No problem, man.
Just to let everyone know, Adam is going through a few personal things right now, so he could not record this week. I saw him earlier today to get the recorder so we can rock out, and he's like, you know, if you want to record, you know, rock out. So you were one of the first people I hit up, dude. And
cool.
Our listeners have heard your name before, and we named an episode after you, the Iron Sharpens Iron episode, which I love. I love. Because it's, Pablo was just fucking the coolest fucking cat. And
thanks, man. You as well, man.
I still have that recording when we last chilled, and I listened to that, particularly just because it was a great conversation. So we've been wanting you on for the longest time. Even Adam says we need to get fucking Pablo in here. So we finally get you on, minus Adam.
Cool.
But great to have you.
Where are you at, Adam?
I know, right, dude? yeah, he's probably gonna listen anyways. But again, going through some things, he looked a little tired. If anything, but I think it's just the stress.
Work or?
More stress, more personal things going on. Yeah, yeah, dude. But he's good. He'll be back next week, dude, so no worries with that. But, dude, let our listeners know what you do. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Right now, currently, I'm working for Amazon.
Still working for Amazon?
Yeah, fucking every day just busting your ass, man. Shit.
Okay.
But it's all right, you know. You get to chill, meet new people all the time. You know, just have fun some days, you know?
Okay, Adam was working with you. Okay. We also had an episode about Adam's first day at Amazon. We had a fucking laugh about it the last time we hung out because you told me, our listeners know Adam's perspective of the Amazon job day one with him. Let us, our listeners, know what your experience was working with Adam day one in Amazon.
Yeah, it was a fun day, that's for sure. Started off just, you know, kind of slowly showing him the ropes here and there. Yeah. But over here, you know, you just got to keep going. Just drop.
So just you guys rolling. Are packing, dropping off. Packages like
all day long, man. Just keep going, you know.
So again, car driving from spot to spot.
Yeah, just, you know, just have our GPS. We just like wham bam, keep going all day, man. But when you're training somebody, you know, you got to keep going fast because you also got to do your job and, you know, make sure you finish it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've worked with you before. We did warehouse work before. So I know you're a beast. In general, working, work ethic, and just the job has to get fucking done. Do you want to grade Adam day one and how long he lasted?
Damn. I don't want to hurt his feelings, man.
He told us his point of view, and I believe he said, like, Pablo was driving like 1,000 miles an hour. Like, he was drifting. And
I was driving fast.
He also mentioned, I guess, the trucker van you guys had. You guys ended up getting a flat tire.
Shit.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, you were driving.
At that point, yeah.
Okay.
But see, I was looking after him.
Okay,
that's the only reason the tire popped. So these vans are kind of high, you know? So to get off, you know, I'm just trying to make it easier for him, you know, because it's just like going up. It's kind of like a high step, you know. So going up and down that shit all the time, it's going to get your ass tired, especially if you're new.
True.
You know. So I was trying to get close to the curve.
as close as you could.
Yeah, and then as soon as I got close to the curb, of course there's a metal plate there.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
And I rubbed up against it and it popped the tire.
Adam mentioned that.
I'm like, shit.
His point of view, if I can remember, was the tire popped and we were struggling to get the fucking tire off.
Dude, fucking, I called the dealership, I called Enterprise, everyone at work, no one knew how to get the fucking spare tire off the van, dude.
Awesome.
So we were there for like an hour and a half just waiting, you know? And then I went online and looked at some...
How-to?
What do you call those?
How-to videos?
No. I did go through those too.
Okay, and still nothing.
No, nothing.
Okay, so
went to the website. Nothing, dude.
How long were you guys chilling, waiting for the tire to get fucking fixed? Or
almost 2 hours, dude.
Trying to get it off.
Just to get off.
Okay, I know Adam's a stud. You're a fucking beast. Two guys could not get this fucking done.
Dude, they sent drivers.
Really?
No one can figure it out.
I've heard this story before.
This thing was just turning. You know, they have a little crank to get the tire off.
Yeah.
That you're just like, clink, 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 clink.
Nothing was happening. Right. I love it. Go for it.
So I finally went online. And I'm just like, it's got to be some kind of anti-theft shit because people are always stealing spare tires, you know?
I guess that's true, yeah.
So I finally found something. All you had to do was open the two back doors. And then you crank it, and the freaking tire went down. We're like, Jesus Christ, 2 hours to figure that out?
I've never heard of that. Like, yeah, you mentioned neither. That to me, but is it stupid, or is that smart? I mean, if you have your keys,
I guess. It's smart. Right? I mean, it's like true. A commercial van, so people are going to steal your tires.
True, but so, I mean, you would think people have alarms on their cars anyways, so like if somebody wanted to just jack your tire...
I don't know how the alarm works as far as like for the tire part.
True that. And I guess you got to get into your trunk nowadays to get underneath to undo the latch, I guess, right?
Yeah.
For regular cars. So 2 hours. Okay.
2 hours just waiting, just bored as fuck.
How soon Adam into your guys' like, shift? Go for it.
Adam's just chilling there. I'm like, dude, fuck, dude. Find something. Do something, man.
Help me. I'll Google something, bitch.
And, finally got that shit off. Then my boss finally comes and he's like, okay, you guys finally got it off? I'm like, yeah. So then I'm trying to crank the tires to get the nuts off.
Okay.
Jeez Louise, man. I couldn't fucking... I could not budge those fuckers.
Okay, wait. Let me stop you real quick. You are a big dude. You got some guns on you.
Yeah.
You couldn't fucking get these off.
I could not fucking budge that thing.
How long were you trying to get... one nut off?
About 3 or 4 minutes, dude. Just trying
to... No dice.
I try to have Adam help me, but that didn't go so well, man. So I called my boss back. I'm like, hey, I need your help, man. And so he comes, gives me an extension so we have more leverage. And then each one was just like...
popping off.
Bolted on that motherfucker, dog.
Really?
Each one, dude.
Wow. Okay. So
finally we got that fucker off, and it was like, we had like three dudes come rescue us. And if you get rescued once, it means you had a shitty day.
Yeah.
Or a long day. We got rescued fucking three times.
In one day. How soon into the shift was it?
Fuck.
10 minutes?
It was like 1 o'clock or some shit.
Okay, so Adam said it was not for him.
No, definitely not for him.
Okay. I love Adam, dude. He's a good worker. Dude.
I tried to warn him, like, dude, this is fast-paced shit, dude. Yeah. You gotta keep going.
Well, the story he told us was equally as funny, but at least we get now finally the pieces put together to the fucking puzzle, dude. All right, man. Okay, so that's a little bit about you. We're going to go through our regular show and chime in like Adam normally would. And
all right.
Please jump in. I have a few weird articles. How was your weekend, by the way, dude? I normally hit up Adam about that, but yeah, how was your weekend?
This weekend or last weekend?
I guess past 2 weekends. I haven't seen you in, what, 2 months? So have you done anything exciting within the past 2 months, dude?
Are you doing really, man. Just working out right now. That's
good.
Pretty much it right now.
That's all you always do anyways.
Yeah.
How are the nieces, dude?
They're getting bigger. One of my nieces, man, she's like, she's a pretty badass artist, man.
Cool.
Yeah. She drew, like, the teacher gave her a picture of the Joker.
Okay.
Well, and it was like more of an advanced drawing, man. That girl can draw, man.
What grade is she in right now?
She's in seventh grade.
Wow. Okay. Good for her. Nice, dude. Okay. Well, show me the picture. I want to go through what we spoke about. Adam and I spoke about 100 episodes ago. Okay. Episode 84, we entitled hashtag Exploding Bullet. This one was cool. Oh, wow, dude. That's fucking dope. It looks like Jack Nicholson fucking yeah. Joker, dude.
Dude.
That's your niece.
That's what I said. I'm like, wow, shit.
Dude. Send that to me. I'll put that on our website if all you right. don't mind, dude.
I don't mind. She's drawing an Indian right now that's fucking ridiculous, man.
Dude, her art is dope, man. Encourage that. Galore. Galore. Like, right. Classes. If you could give her just manga shit, comics, all just art pieces, you know, that would be appealing to her. But, wow, that's dope, dude.
Cool.
Wow, she might be able to draw her new banner, dude.
Should be your graphic artist.
Oh, that'd be dope, dude. Okay, so episode 84, we entitled Exploding Bullet. We hit Twitter love shoutouts. We hit Twitter, Instagram, Facebook messages. We hit just headlines. What the fuck news? 75-year-old attacked by rabid raccoon. That was one of the articles.
Really. Okay.
We hit Anne Strangles it. So this woman. Right, old lady.
What the fuck?
Gangster, yeah, what the fuck. A woman survives setting herself on fire, then jumping off a bridge. Go for it if you got any questions, dude.
Fucking genius,
man. Yeah. For comic news, we hit lots of Star Wars news. So I believe last year, 2 years ago, we were at the Anaheim Star Wars Celebration, which was this year in Florida. And we'll go into that. But okay. So we hit a lot of... Star Wars talk that one. We hit Fantastic Four movie talk. Did the you new see ones? That one? The new one.
Nah, it got a lot of bad reviews. I'm like, I'm not going to waste my time watching that.
Don't, dude. We hit DC variant covers. We hit DC new costumes that were revealed. We hit comic reviews, so Adam and I reviewed comics. We hit Fantastic Four number 644, Spider-Gwen number 2, Spawn Resurrection number 1, Amazing Spider-Man number 16, and Southern Cross number 1. Those are the comics we hit, man. So, we're going to hit some what the fuck news.
Alright, let's do it.
Alright, man. I want your input on... Let's start off with a softball. Bird slams into man's face in a bloody roller coaster accident.
Holy shit.
Now, fucked up?
Bird, yeah.
I saw the video.
For later. Both, I guess. Shit. Oh, there's a video of this?
There was a video. I'll pull it up for you shit. On break, dude. Roller coasters are designed for thrill seekers, but one man got more than he bargained for at the newly opened Ferrari land in Barcelona, Spain. A man and his friend went for a ride on Red Force, which is being touted as Europe's fastest roller coaster.
Okay.
On Friday, and literally crashed into an unfortunate surprise.
Damn.
While riding the 112-mile-per-hour coaster, a bird slammed into the man's face, leaving behind a bloody mess. Questions?
Twitter, son.
Shocked by the impact, the man felt his face until he found a bird pushed up against his neck thanks to the ride's extreme acceleration. And the video, again, is fucking pretty hilarious. I mean, granted, poor
guy. Did the guy get messed up? His face?
It's awesome. Not as bad as Fabio, and we'll go into Fabio right now. He tossed the bird aside, so literally picture yourself 112 miles per hour on a ride at Disneyland at fucking Knott's Berry Farm, and just a bird
smashing right in your girl.
112 miles per hour.
Shit.
That's like a good fucking, like, karate kick. Like roundhouse. I know, right? There, dog. It's gotta be, dude. He tossed the bird aside with blood smeared across his face, appeared to tell his friend what just happened. Moments after the encounter, the man seemed to accept his and the bird's fate and rose his hand for another drop. Okay, so he was a good trooper about it. Like, if you were on a date, let's just say that, like, do you think that's, like, red flag?
It'd be memorable, dude. Be like, fuck, it should have been you, bitch.
Okay, let's say back to first date. If you were on a first date with a chick and a bird slammed into her face, I mean, it sounds... See ya. Okay. Red flag or like just... It would be like one of those dual killers, right?
Yeah. It'd make it interesting, that's for sure, man. At least you have something to talk about.
Yeah, for sure. Now, the article said it was with his fucking friend, which I would bust my boys. Oh, I would bust your balls, son. Remember that one time a bird smashed into your face? Like, I would, every day. I would text you on the fucking hour, hey, yeah. Like, remember that fucking bird? So that's one, dude. Poor guy, the bird fucking died, but, oh, fuck. Again, 112 miles an hour.
Damn.
Next one's going to be, machete cuts off man's hand in fight, but gets reattached. This came out April 6th. Lowell, Massachusetts. A Massachusetts man whose hand was cut off by a machete during a fight has had it reattached. And authorities say the suspect has been ordered, held without bail. The Sun reports that police responded to a Lowell public housing project Wednesday night. Prosecutors said the officers at first found only the hand because the victim ran away screaming. So let's stop there, first of all. You've been in a few scraps. I've been in a few scraps in my life. Okay. We've never got any appendages fucking severed. I mean, right?
No.
Okay. Let's say you got in a scrap this time and homeboy happened to slice off or cut off.
The whole arm off? Or...
An arm. A finger.
What he chopped is like... Where at in his arm, you
it's
know?
At his wrist. His shit. Hand. His hand straight up. Yeah, so it's got to be the fucking... Straight up. A machete, though. Like, don't bring fist to a fucking knife fight. Granted, you don't know. Yeah. How do you know... Don't know homeboy has a machete, though? And would you still scrap? It's like, hey, dog, you,
it
got,
all
you
depends.
Got this
It all depends, I true, guess, true. You know? Be okay. Like, man, fuck you and your knife.
Okay, true. That's not a knife. Okay,
so you ain't scaring nobody.
Okay, true that.
That actually happened to one of our drivers.
Go for
shit.
It. No, okay, please.
They're on the freeway, and he was telling me that, you know, I guess he cut him off, and he got all pissed off, and he started talking to him and shit.
So
and
road rage.
And they were driving back and forth, yeah.
Okay.
And this guy, he pulls off, and he has a machete.
He showed him, like, motherfucker.
He showed him his...
Like,
yeah, but Alex, that fool didn't back down. He's like, what's up, fool? You ain't scared of nobody. And he just got back in his car and he took off and shit.
That's ballsy. I think I'm stupid enough and that ballsy to them. But let's say now, homeboy would have lost an arm or a fucking hand or finger. What's your first reaction? And besides fucking flipping.
Fuck, dude. Just my first reaction would be like, fucking find my hand or... Or thank put you. Something over the fucking...
thank you. Both of those. I mean, granted, you're going into shock.
Yeah, definitely.
But, okay, so now let's hear what fucking homeboy did. The suspect, 54-year-old Domingo Ayala, was ordered without bail Thursday pending a hearing to determine whether he is dangerous. He faces charges including assault and battery with a dangerous weapon. Prosecutors say the victim got into an argument with Ayala's son, and at some point, Ayala retrieved the machete. Ayala's attorney did not immediately return for a phone call. So the dude got his hand chopped off, but he ran. I mean, granted, like, our first reaction, we would like to think it would be, where is it? Or cover up the fucking, the blood's
yeah, splurting. Exactly. I was skirting all over the place.
Okay, let's hear...
Shit, imagine that shit.
That's hard to imagine.
And if he's fine, he's jacking off and his hand falls off before it has a chance to heal.
And it did say that it was reattached. So eventually, once the authorities got him, the police...
I wonder if it was, like, functional.
If they got it soon enough, or maybe he went to the hospital soon enough, they probably were able to get the nerves and everything working again.
Shit.
We'll chime in on this guy probably next time, dude. I don't know what you think about this one, but again, what the fuck news? A woman falls off California's highest bridge while taking selfie. How do you feel about selfies, dude?
Fuck. I don't know. I really don't like them and shit. I mean, it's cool to, like, if you're, like, a Grand Canyon or fucking special moments and shit like that, but, like, for every little thing shit?
True that. Now, I am on social media a lot. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. More so Instagram, and I think Snap little by little. A lot of fucking Twitter shit. And mostly, it's mostly about the podcast. Like, we're going to record, or this is what I'm reading right now, or fuck it. This is what I'm up to right now. You're not a social media guy.
No, definitely not.
Which is, makes sense why you would think that, too. Because I'm always anti, like, I don't want to take a fucking selfie. But then I don't give duck lips when I do fucking selfies. It's always, like, what I'm up to. Or if I'm wearing my Steelers garb, it's like, bitch, look at me. Yeah, like, that's me.
Bitch.
Look at this. So, let me know what you think about this. Police in California County, so it's here in Cali, dude, have a warning for camera-toting and thrill-seekers. You can lose your life, and none of that is worth a selfie. The message was posted on the Placer County Sheriff's Office Facebook page after one fell 60 feet off the Forest Hill Bridge on Tuesday. This article came out last Thursday, April 6th. The 730-foot-tall bridge is the highest in California and one of the highest in the United States.
And that bitch went up there to take a selfie and fucking... That was the last...
Okay,
how did they at least get the picture?
Okay, good question. We'll find out right now.
Okay.
The sheriff's office said the unidentified woman from Sacramento and a group of friends were walking on the bridge's girders when she attempted to take a selfie and fell, landing on the trail below. So she lived. But
oh, lucky.
You're right, but one of those things, like, that's kind of what you get. Like, if you're going to do...
stupid shit, you're going to get some stupid results.
You know? Okay, thank you. The woman had to be airlifted to a nearby hospital. Paul Gonnerker,
friend, told Tina. Man, that bitch is lucky. She totally didn't die. Okay.
720 feet would be what? Three stories?
I'm not too sure,
man. Neither do I. I breaking it down, I don't know how much one story, two stories, three stories is. Five stories? That sucks dick, dude.
Yeah.
Now, you don't take selfies. I take selfies. Would I do anything stupid like that? No.
Hell no.
Nah, that's just too stupid. But, like, again, Darwin's rule, Darwin's law is, like, if you're going to do stupid shit, you kind of deserve stupid shit happening to you. Like you said, stupid results. All right, man. And last one is going to be, I have no sex facts this week. Men accused of killing ex-roommate who stopped in to say bye. Go ahead.
Came in to say hi and he killed them?
Yeah, I'll go through
it right now.
This one came out March 28th, 2017. West Palm Beach, Florida. Everything always happens in Florida. A Florida man is accused of fatally stabbing his roommate when she stopped by his home on Saturday morning to say goodbye before moving back to Pennsylvania, where she grew up, according to sheriff's investigators. Palm Beach County Sheriff's deputy said in an arrest report that Brooke Preston, 21, had recently moved out of the home she'd shared with Randy Herman Jr., 24. Preston hugged Herman, who gave her a t-shirt commemorating the death of a mutual friend. Then, according to deputies, Herman stabbed her repeatedly in the abdomen, back, and throat. She's also defensive wounds on her hands. Any questions yet?
Damn, did she survive that?
No, killing an ex-roommate, straight up.
Shit.
Herman then drove Preston's vehicle to a park near West Palm Beach, where he dialed 911, the report said. Go ahead, questions.
He dialed 911?
Mm-hmm.
Or someone else?
So...
I didn't catch that part, okay. I'm sorry.
No. So, ex-roommates and, I guess, one of their mutual friends passed away, so I guess they were sharing this commemorative shirt. Like, rest in peace, fucking.
Right.
Left eye or fucking whatever. And, homeboy fucking snapped and just fucking straight up killed her.
Why the fuck did he kill her? This shit doesn't make any sense.
Okay. So, he did it. He took off in her car, girl that he just killed, and this is what happened next. Herman then drove Preston's vehicle to a park near West Palm Beach, where he dialed 911, the report said. Someone's been murdered, Herman told the dispatcher. Just send the police. It was me. I'm sorry.
Damn.
It sounds like a movie, dude. According to investigators, Herman texted his mother while waiting at the park for deputies to arrive. He told her he loved her, the report said. When deputies got to the park, Herman told them to go to his house because someone there was badly hurt. The Palm Beach Post reports Herman was covered in blood and had a cut on the webbing between his left thumb and pointer finger. He also had scratch marks on his chest, investigators wrote in the arrest report. During the questioning by detectives, Herman cried and apologized. The report said he was arrested and charged with first-degree murder. He's been held with without bond and records. Neighbors told the newspaper that the two were not romantically linked. And in February 2015, Herman's 53-year-old father, Randy Herman Sr., was accused of killing his 50-year-old girlfriend, Gail Monahan, in Hanover Township, Pennsylvania. 2 months later, as law enforcement officers closed in on him in Marshall County, Alabama, Herman Sr. was found dead inside a pickup truck. Officials said that they also found two handguns missing from the couple's home and a wallet containing Monahan's ID. When they say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, now, do you think when his pop's going through that, it's got to fuck you up, right?
I think so. It's going to have some kind of effect
on you. Yeah, definitely, dude. Now, he wasn't right in the head anyways, and to kill anyone just alone
is... Yeah, that's fucked up,
is dude. Nuts, dude. But, like, why do people fucking do it? And it's always crazy, like, shit.
He was possessed or something, man. How do you kill your fucking friend and shit?
That's pretty much what it is, dude. And granted, I wanted to strangle a few of my roommates, but it was never, like, death. At the same time.
I just a quick scrap.
And... Just go to sleep. Yeah, but yeah, that's all I got, man. Okay, that's all we got for What the Fuck News for now, man. You're not on fucking Facebook, dude. Let's go back to you now, because I love chilling with you. I love hanging out with you. And, comic news and reviews is going to be quick, because Adam normally chimes in with his comic reviews. So okay. If it's just going to be mine, then I don't need that much time.
Okay.
Yeah, so what do you have going on in your world? I don't want to mention too much, because I know how private of a guy you are. And I don't want to say private, but I don't want
to... I'll tell you anything.
I don't want to put...
putting it, my whole business out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Is a whole different thing, you know?
Oh, definitely, dude. That's why I never want to do that to you.
I appreciate that.
But sports, football. Anything you're looking forward to at all that's going on for you? Anything you're excited or jazzed about?
I don't know. The only thing I was jazzed about, I actually won my fantasy league this year.
Did you really?
$200 trophy.
You won a trophy too?
Yeah.
Are you going to do our Comic Syndicate fucking fantasy football league this year?
I'll do it for sure. Yeah, I named my team Sia.
Idiot.
So every time I'd fucking, like, at the, like, the last 10 weeks, man, my team got hot. So every time I'd fucking win, I'd be like, hey, team Sia.
Dope.
Hey, we them boys. See ya.
Question, because we love fucking football, dude. Who is your quarterback?
My quarterback?
Yeah.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers.
Not bad. He always puts up numbers. Who is your wide receivers, too?
Wide receivers. Shit, who did I have? I didn't have no big name wide receivers.
Okay. There were a bunch of them that were popping up that were fucking good, dude.
Shit, I'm trying to remember who I had.
Odell didn't do that great. They were double-teaming Antonio Brown all season. Julio Jones fucking killed it. Whoever had Julio Jones as a wide receiver. He was putting up numbers consistently, dude.
Dude, my friend's wife had him. And really? Picked, like, Melvin Gordon. And
he did fucking great, too.
Dude, she was fucking tearing it up, dude.
Your boys, J.H.I.
Oh, yeah, he got hot for, like, right? 3 games. Yeah, he was a beast, man. But my running back was Le'Veon Bell, though.
Ooh, that guy's a beast, dude. Yeah. All right, cool. Consistently putting up numbers,
too. Yeah, he was.
Dope, man. All right, you got to jump in on our fucking next fucking season league.
All right, for sure.
And the shit-talking, fuck. I love fantasy football because it's a bunch of guys, and we should not be called the Comic Syndicate Fantasy Football League. It should be fucking Team Ruthless, because the fucking... shit that was going down in this fucking chat room was
they went Sid Vicious on that
you
shit.
You got burnt, son. It was like just harsh, and sometimes you can tell when people got fucking like butt hurt.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it funnier, dude.
Yeah, but especially when you're trying and you're losing.
Oh my god, I was talking the most shit prior. Like each week I would put my roster together and I would write a fucking two paragraphs for each person. Just wanna let you know you're my boy. But this week and fucking bend you over like a motherfucker. Yeah, and like, I'm gonna bring...
Put your ass to sleep.
I'm gonna bring the fucking thunder on your fucking... Yeah, you just stupid shit, dude. But like, it was good, and my boys weren't that hot till the end of the season. But it was cool, dude. So David, one of our listeners, won. We gotta get him on the show. And speaking of show, Episode 200 is coming up soon, soon, dude. So we're at 184 right now.
Yeah, 60 more episodes to hit.
Dude, I have something fucking fun planned for you guys. Like, I want you here, Adams and Sadie, David, a bunch of the people, friends. We've had Albert's going to be here. Not here. We're going to put something together. And the 100, 150, 200, every other 50 episodes, I tried really hard to make it really fun for not me, but for you guys.
Fuck, that's where I got confused. Remember Daniel's boy, Albert, right? That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, Albert's there.
And for some reason, I always thought Adam was Albert. Fuck, dude, for like three or 4 years, even the day I was chaining him,
okay.
I'm like, all right, check this out, Albert. He's like, my name is Adam. I'm like, shit, my bad, dog. Dude, I must have called him Albert like 50 times that day. Albert. I'm like, at the end of the day, I'm like, fuck Adam, today your fucking name is Albert, dog.
From here on out.
I W Albert. And Albert's fucking dope, dude.
He's way cooler.
Adam and Albert, though, two different, first of all, fucking complexions. And Albert's a bigger fucking dude.
I know, he's a beast, dude.
So I don't get that correlation, but I saw Adam today and I was chatting with him, you know, before getting the recorder. And I'm like, hey, man, all right, dude, I'll get back to you probably tonight. Catch you later, Pablo. He's like, "Do you just call me Pablo?" I'm like, "Oh fuck, my bad, dude. I just was driving all day from Vegas." Told him
today your name is Pablo.
I should have fucking said that, man. All right, dude. You guys can find us at thecomicsyndicate.com, thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com. Share the podcast more than anything. Go to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. We'll be right back shortly with Comic Talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
All right, guys, we are back with Comic Talk. Pablo, I'm going to read some quick articles here for you on comic news that is going on right now. Just let me know what you think of these. First one's going to be new Mega Man animated series lands at Cartoon Network.
Hell yeah, I'm excited about that.
Dope, right? It sounds fucking cool.
Love Mega Man 2 and Nintendo, dog.
Dope, dude.
Need I say more?
Perfect, dude. The next one's going to be G.I. Joe reboot will take a millennial approach. Did you watch any of the recent G.I. Joe movies?
I did.
What'd you think? I didn't watch any because it wasn't appealing to me, man.
Yeah, I was the same way. I just kind of like, you know, after it came out, I wasn't excited to see it.
Yeah, dude, totally. Next one's going to be Chris Evans on Captain America role, Nothing Lasts Forever. So recently he's said that he doesn't mind, or if Marvel wants to offer him another contract, like, Chris Evans is Captain America. So he's to the point now where he's done his obligated movies role. So what's going to happen to Captain America? And he's just been talking about that lately. I love comic book movies. I love the Marvel fucking movies. Marvel Studios movies. It's going to be harder to see fucking these guys drop off movies, dude. How do you have any feelings or opinion about that?
No, not really. I mean, Tony Stark is probably the biggest one.
Tony Stark is fucking Tony Stark.
I'm not really a big Captain America fan, to be honest with you.
Same, dude. Okay, let's see where we want to go next, dude. Daredevil Season 3 shoots later this year.
Fuck yeah, dude. I'm waiting for that.
Okay.
Motherfucker, man.
Good. So you're caught up on the fucking...
Oh yeah, I'm caught up on that.
Daredevil's pretty sick, right?
Yeah, Season 2 was ridiculous, man.
Season 3 is dope, dude. I'm sorry, is gonna come out. Punisher introduced in Season 2. You're wearing a Punisher shirt, homie.
Oh yeah.
What'd you think of Punisher and fucking Daredevil?
Fucking loved him, dude.
He was dope, right?
That motherfucker was Shane from The Walking Dead, dude. That's who he was.
That's who he was. Okay, I'm not a Walking Dead fan, but I don't watch TV anymore.
Okay.
Adam told me he was great in that, but don't know. But he was great in as a fucking Punisher. He is Frank fucking God.
He was also in The Wolf of Wall Street, dude.
Did not see that. The only movie I've seen him in, honestly, the only thing, two movies I've seen him in, was, oh, fuck me, dude. It was a tank movie. It was a World War II.
Fury?
Yes.
With Brad Pitt?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a bad movie.
And even Shia LaBeouf. Great movie, dude.
Yeah.
And he was kind of a prick in it, but he was good in it.
Yeah.
First movie I saw him in. Second movie I saw him in was The Accountant with
Ben Affleck.
And that's a great fucking movie.
Oh, his brother. Yeah, that was a good movie.
It was a great movie, dude. So fucking good. And he was good in it. And that's the relationship I have with my brothers. You motherfucker. And he was going to be you. Yeah, he was
going to be you. After you shoot up the place.
Yeah, dude. A great movie, dude. We're not, that, those weren't spoilers, guys, but even Ben Affleck was great in that
fucking movie. Yeah.
Have you seen John Wick 2?
No, I just barely saw part 1. My brother told me about it.
What'd you think of John Wick
part 1? Fuck, I can't wait to see part 2, man.
Part 2, you're going to love. If you liked part 1.
I did. I dug it.
I reviewed somewhat part 2 when I saw it. I want everyone to go watch it because at the end of that one is like, there's no way part 3 can fucking happen.
They set it up for part 3?
They do, but, like, the way they set it up is, like, oh, no, homeboys, fuck. Like, there's no
don't spoil it for
me. There's no point in a part 3, because as soon as part 3 starts, thrash, 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 you're dead. Like, there's no fucking way he can get it. It's good, dude. But it's dope.
His brother can come back.
There you go, right, dude? I know.
The Accountant.
And that's all I got. Yeah, dude. I mean, with the rest is comic news. I guess let's do. Do you watch any of the WB shows on, you know, Flash or Arrow or anything like that?
No, not yet, man. I'm limited to time, man. Same. But I've been wanting to watch Green Arrow, though. Everyone keeps telling me that's really good.
That one's good. I think you would love The Flash.
The Flash is pretty good.
The Flash is good, dude. Two things that did come out this weekend. I went to Vegas. Took some time off. I needed to get the fuck just time to myself and hang out with some great company, dude.
Cool.
But two news that did come out this weekend was, did you watch Deadpool?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know who Cable is?
Are you talking about the...
The movie Deadpool.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Okay, part 2 is going to introduce Cable, and you know Cable from the New Mutants X-Force, right?
Yeah.
And we were talking about that kind of.
Yeah.
Do you know who they casted as Cable now?
No, I haven't.
This came out this weekend. It was Josh Brolin is going to be Cable.
Oh, shit. Thanos, huh?
Thanos is Cable. Yeah, two different companies. But yeah.
Yeah, but...
And then also this weekend was the Star Wars celebration I was talking about earlier that was in Florida. Did you watch the new trailer?
I have not watched it.
Oh, fuck. I'll pull it up for you, dude. It looks good, dude.
It's pretty sick.
Before you bounce, dude, yeah, we'll definitely fucking play that for you.
All right, for sure.
Okay, and normally I have my wingman Adam to hit some fucking comic reviews, but I want to do mine solos. We normally hit back and forth. Pablo, you are going to love these, and I'm probably going to go into one longer than the other, dude. This is a title from... it's a DC title, but DC has always had this under darker vibe called Vertigo. So, like, the Sandman was on there, Swamp Thing was on there. It's a
fucking love the Swamp Thing.
Yeah, I love them too. They deal more with a darker and even more mature content. So, Vertigo has put out a bunch of good fucking titles that, again, are darker for DC and straight up ballsier, dude. Okay. Or you can cuss, or you can see tits and shootings and, like, actual fucking death.
I would like to see these tits you speak
of. Savage Things number 1 I reviewed. This is Savage Things number 2 that came out 2 weeks ago, I guess, a week and a half ago. Justin Jordan is the writer. Ibrahim Mustafa is the artist. Jordan Boyd is the inker for this title. And pretty much, to fill you in, it's pretty much some kids that are rejects that are fucked up, and this organization puts these kids together to make them assassins. to a certain degree, like the you guys have no emotional attachment.
It kind of sounds like the plot for the movie Hitman.
Kind of. Yeah, actually, that's pretty much what it is, dude. So they put these bunch of kids together with, again, no connection to people. And that's why they want to... The best way to train an assassin is someone that doesn't have
any emotional attachment to anybody.
The way issue number one ended was a room full of kids. They had been, like, maybe 15, 16, if even that. And the teacher, the professor says, all right, there are 45 of you kids in here. By in half an hour, I want half of you kids dead. I'm going to close up. I don't care which one it is. He leaves a knife on the fucking table. And it's all these kids, like, it ends with these kids. Yeah,
bum rush the knife.
Yeah. We don't know which ones end up alive. Now, it was really interesting because just that alone was like, shit, that's intriguing to me. So issue number two is what I'm going to review right now. And this one was really cool. It starts off with a flashback 25 years ago. And for the prior issue, we see a bloody classroom with a bunch of dead bodies sprawled across the room. And then, well, we get some panels of two survivors. Now, the code names these kids are given are biblical. And the two that are now in, I don't want to say custody, but I got sent to the teacher's or director's office. And again, their names are biblical. Are Cain and Abel having to survive this fucking incident?
Oh, no shit.
Right? So, interesting right off the bat, dude. It looks like one of the trainers is upset because Abel saved Cain during the whole fucking melee that was going on. This whole fucking battle royal with fucking kids killing each other. But when we get to the current day pages of Abel now being interrogated by a woman named Kira. So she's from a different organization that actually knows about these old covert missions or why this organization of kids were trained assassins, like, she knows about them. So I want to say FBI to a certain degree. She's
okay.
In the last issue, they need a whole SWAT team to take down one of these guys. Like, he's such a badass. Like, they needed this whole fucking team to fucking stop him. So he gets taken in issue number one. Issue number two, now he's being interrogated. He's in he's, you know, they have him for custody.
Now it sounds like John Wick.
Totally, dude. That's why I like it, dude. So, this chick that's interrogating homeboy keeps telling him, like, I know about everything we did. All your wet work shit. I know you're a fucking ghost. And it's really cool to see his interaction with her, because he's like, what the fuck do you want from me? We need your help. Like, you know the crew that's out there, and you're the only one that can fucking take them down. So it got really interesting, and he's like, why the fuck would I help you? I don't give a shit if you help me or not. You're a fucking ghost. That means we can fucking kill you right now and nobody would fucking know anyways. Or you can give us a hand and we can let you go fucking free by the end of this.
Or you say, where's my knife?
Pretty much. And that's exactly what he does. And this character is really fucking cool. And this organization he was part of initially, again, Wet Works. And the government, they were a government-sanctioned fucking crew. Go ahead, questions, go for it.
Oh, no, I was going to say, it also started to sound like the League of Shadows.
Mm.
Like John Wick, League of Shadows.
That's a great way to look at it, because this organization, again, is sanctioned, originally put together by our own government. Once our government looked
at him, sounds like, about right.
Once our government looked at them like, okay, well, the mission's fucking done. Like, okay, as they're flying back, just fucking shoot down their fucking copter. Like, fuck them all. Like, they're fucking monsters anyway. But they groomed them to be fucking monsters. So once that happened, somehow they survived. And the leader of the pack said, fuck you. You're going to take us out, throw us away, throw us aside. So fuck your government.
That sounds like the Extendables.
Fuck? That's exactly what it is, too.
Damn, it's like all these good movies mixed into just one, combined into one.
And in a comic like this, I mean, again, Vertigo can fucking do shit gnarly like this, was really good and really appealing to me, because it's not superheroes. It's straight up what if this shit does happen. I'm pretty sure it does fucking happen.
Yeah, I'm pretty
sure. So, very cool, dude. Barely issue number 2 in, and I loved the fuck out of it, dude. It's really good. Guys, it's worth checking out, dude. It's Savage Things number 2. That wasn't Book of the Week, but that was worth talking about. The whole... Why I wanted to record after this short vacation I had was... I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you're joining. I wanted Adam's input on this, but he's going through stuff too. I'm going to take my time on this one. And Book of the Week for me last week before I took off was Batman number 20. Now, the name of this arc, and arcs in comics are 5 to 6 issues is one arc. And it's entitled something specific. This one happens to be titled I Am Bane. Nice. This is really cool. So to fill you in, listeners know because Adam reviewed it, and we've been catching, like, fuck, this is good.
It's a good series.
It got fucking good. Now, the prior writer Adam and I have interviewed before at WonderCon, Scott Snyder, was killing it on Batman. Like, holy shit. Next writer who jumps on next has some big shoes to fucking fill. And Homeboy's fucking cool. The writer now has been Tom King. Tom King was, he's writing Sheriff of Babylon for Vertigo, DC, and that deals with an ex-military cop in Iraq, Fallujah, Tikrit, and him trying to help their country in the American interaction, like, let's work together. But he sees a lot of gnarly shit. There is a lot of killing in that one, too. Great story. But again, the DC Vertigo thing. Now, Tom King is the writer of Batman now, and initially, again, to fill you in, I didn't like the first arc because they introduced some new characters, Gotham Girl and Gotham Guy or Gotham Man, and it sounds lame, but this is why I didn't like it. They were like Superman characters, strong beings, like, how did you get these fucking powers? Yeah. And right off the bat, Batman's like, not in my fucking city, fuck you. Like, it's bad enough we got one Superman, and you think. Now, getting to know these kids, and they're probably mid-20s, 30s by now. Batman's got to be, like, fucking 40, possibly 50, in continuity right now. So, they went through the same type of death with their parents, orphans, where it's a brother and sister, and I like the way Tom King is writing Batman because now he's writing Batman in a way we haven't seen Batman before as far as, like, Batman talking to himself like, fuck, I'm not going to be around forever. And if these kids have the fucking passion to fight for Gotham, I can train them and they can be, you know, when badasses. He's talking about, yeah, and he's talking about his own morality too. Very cool, too, because within that first arc, like, Batman does a lot of stupid shit that only Batman can do. There's a plane crashing down, uses his bat jet to fucking get on top of the airplane, like, fuck. Turbines are fucking out. He's like, fuck.
Slowly lands the jet.
in the river of Gotham. But, like, his inner monologue talking to him the whole time, talking to himself in his head is like, fuck, there's no way I can land this fucking plane, like, not only am I going to fail these people, but I'm going to fucking die. I can bail right now. And he chooses, like, fuck it. I'm going to write it up. And that's when Gotham Guy, Gotham Girl fucking come along and help him out, save the ship. But again, that whole aspect has been in his mind where...
They just pop out of the blue?
Pretty much.
Shit.
So the first arc was introducing these. Second arc was more of there's a character, B-C character, called Psycho Pirate. And he can control your thoughts. Now, he's the one... He ends up making these two characters, first arc, good that Batman can mode into twisted fucking super beings. So they have their powers. But the more they use their powers, it's killing them little by little.
Okay.
The brother ends up dying. And the sister is still under this hypnotization type of deal.
That cycle,
yes.
Pirate put him under?
Yes. So Batman figures this out and he's like, so where the fuck is Psycho Pirate? He does his detective work. And the detective work he does is always fucking up. It's fucking Batman. He figures out where Psycho Pirate is. He's like, fuck. It's on fucking Santa Cristo fucking Island. fuck, I gotta go after Bane because he's in Bane. Bane has him under custody. Now, Bane is a fucking beast, dude.
Yeah.
And this, the past few arcs have been fucking dope because he goes, breaks into Bane's own fucking lair. And he has to hire a bunch of fucking villains. So Black fucking... Go ahead.
Who hires villains? Batman?
Batman. No, because it's a sovereign country or island that Bane controls. Where it's like, you can have this fucking island, we won't fuck with you, but don't, no terrorist fucking acts or else we wet. And he has a huge fucking army. Batman needs Psycho Pirate. None of his fucking hero friends are going to help out because like, hey dude, it's a sovereign fucking country. That means we can't go in there. Once we touch fucking surface or foot on fucking soil, they're going to fucking... They have... We can't throw the law at them. We can't do anything illegal about this. You're going to bring a fucking war. Bruce asked his Justice League friends. Yeah, we're not going to go there, dude.
Bunch of bitches. Totally. When it comes down
so to hence them. Why Batman got together a bunch of villains. So, Black... Catwoman. And a bunch of, again, BC characters. You got, what's his face? The guy with the puppet, dude. So anyways, and the team he got together was great because they are villains and they are fun. And the whole story was great because Adam and I have been talking about the parallels of Bane and Batman. Like, the way Bane grew up. And it's like, I lost my parents, too. I lost my mom. But, and you see fucking Bane just working out. Whoa. And then you see Batman doing it like, I lost my parents, too. And the way they keep jumping back to these two characters is, I'm going to fucking rule every villain. And that's Bane's fucking inner monologue. And Batman's main inner logue is, I'm going to make sure shit like this never happens to anyone's parents.
It's like they're that. Almost the same personality.
Perfect. It was a fucking coin flip. Like, you can see both sides of it. And the way Tom King is writing it is fucking dope. The art is fucking sick, dude. So, the writer is Tom King. David Finch is the artist. Danny Mickey is the fucking inker. And Trevor Scott. Jordy Barilari does the colors. It's gorgeous, dude. So, now Batman has Psycho Pirate. And he's trying to... He wanted to get Psycho Pirate because Gotham Girl was still under the influence of the spell. Batman has 5 days to bring Homeboy back to Gotham so he can take off the effects of Gotham Girl. Batman got his ass kicked against Bane the first time going to his island. Got his ass kicked.
For every time he goes against Bane, he gets his ass kicked.
His ass kicked, dude. So, met the first time and... Batman, because of the bad villains he was able to escape. And very cool interaction between, like, even Catwoman and him was like, fuck. You always have a fucking plan, don't you? Well, at least it worked. I don't know about it. And he always has a contingency plan. Yeah. Batman is fucking a beast. So, issue... Magneto. Issue number... not even issue number. So, last issue was pretty much now... Batman was put in a situation where it's like, okay, I have Gotham Girl. He takes her to Arkham Asylum. And he has her deep, deep in, like, Joker's fucking cell. Like, heavy fucking vault.
Heavily guarded.
Batman fucking unlocks fucking everyone's fucking cell. So, and Batman has just got his ass kicked. You know, bringing her, you know, getting his ass kicked prior fight, dude. So, Bane now is like, motherfucker, you came into my fucking country. I'm going to fucking kill everything you fucking love. So now Batman did this, unlocked every fucking cell.
Then you can have my permission to die.
Exactly. Now, it was, and Adam and I reviewed the last one last time. And it was really good because now Bane enters fucking Arkham Asylum and every cell was fucking open. Bane's mowing down villain after villain. Riddler, fucking,
Not the Riddler.
Harvey Dent, dude, fucking, Scarecrow, fucking, everyone just to get to fucking Gotham Girl. Now, the end of that one started with, Gotham Girl was there with Alfred. And they're trying to get him to break this synapse. And Batman's plan is like, he's even fucking has his cowl off. Like, Alfred tells him straight up, you can't do this. Like, you're beat up. Like, you're going to fucking die. Like, you can't stop him this time. Fuck it. I gotta try, man.
Was Bane all juiced to the gills or
what? Okay, so that's what made it way cool is, and we spoke about it, is Bane had Psycho Pirate because he was not juiced up. He was using Psycho Pirate to give him some mental synapses, like, I don't need it to venom out anymore.
Gotcha.
So now, him coming back to Gotham, venoms out, and he's pissed off more so, like, you made me go back to fucking Venom, Batman. That's why I'm gonna kill you. I was fine without drugging up. You made me go back to it. I was fine without it. So that's the whole... Where this one starts off now is the scrap. Batman beat the fuck up. Bane now, after fighting every villain, an army of fucking Arkham Asylum inmates to get to Batman, is now the fucking showdown. And I'll go through this one, dude. Starts off right off the fucking bat with both squaring each other up. Batman's beat up, and again, you can tell, fuck, he is hurt. He should not be out there. Throwing the towel for fucking Batman. You can see Bane a little bit beat up, but he's again venomed out, dude. Very cool, dude. So they score each other up, dude, and it starts off with them scrapping right off the fucking bat. Punches, right? Issue fucking action, dude. Batman loses some of his teeth. Like, just these pages are brutal. Like, Batman, are you gonna fucking do something, homie? And it's really cool.
He's gonna beat up his hands with his face.
That's exactly what it did. Batman loses some teeth, and you know, and even Bane says, "This is the end, Batman." Very cool. Then it brings Batman to remember a certain moment or scene from issue number 1. This is issue number 20. Issue number 1 was his inner monologue, and this says, it was the plane. That's his inner monologue. Where it brings memories of him believing that this was supposed to be his great death. Like, he realized the airplane, like, I'm going to die. And that's the inner monologue. And him surviving that, and now him thinking, like, fuck. I think I might fucking die tonight. Go ahead, questions, man. It looks like...
You did a pretty good job of explaining.
Okay, that. Now it's really cool now because he just wants to. If he's gonna die, he wants it to be a great fucking death. That's all it, for a purpose, and very cool, dude. It's very cool, dude. Something happens, dude. Bane tells him, "This is the end of Batman."
This is the end, Batman. I must break you.
Totally. And as he's getting his ass kicked, Batman is getting just destroyed page after page, panel after panel, bloodied up. This motherfucker has enough fucking balls to fucking say, you know how many times I've heard that? Rest in peace, Batman. There's no escape, Batman. Time to die, Batman. Every night, over and over and over for so many years. Every damn night. And yet... I'm still here. And so he pulls one of those stunts where it's like, fuck this, like, stay down, or, and he doesn't, he just keeps getting rocked, dude. Now, it gets even better, dude, because as he gets up, it's just fucking dope, because he knows, he realizes his inner monologue is still going on. It's him talking to himself, and the way Batman is always written is his inner monologue. I sit in the shadows because they're comforting. And I'm waiting for someone to trespass so I can pounce. Like, that's the way Batman's written. Like, that's him. That's fucking Batman. So his inner monologue is even telling him, like, it sucks, dude. As much as he gets more thoughts of Gotham, man and Gotham girl, he wanted to mold them to continue to fight for Gotham if anything were to happen to him. But again, as he's getting rocked and straight up mocked by Bane, dude, uh-huh. He goes through the rundown of the prior arcs, which I just mentioned to you, which I really gave a quick nutshell of everything. The whole I Am Batman started off with the first one. I Am Gotham was the second arc. I Am Bane. And his inner monologue is going off the whole time, step by step. Like, you should have a beautiful death and fuck it. Like, maybe it's time to tap out. Type of deal.
So does he tap out?
Oh, dude, it's fucking dope, dude. So, again, it's real cool. Even needing to get rocked by Bane twice, which this is now his second time getting, third time getting his ass kicked by Bane, dude.
Yeah.
And even as that goes down, dude, oh my god, it's really cool, dude. You kind of get the effect like Batman is fucking scared. And there's a scene where even though he's getting his ass kicked, his inner monologue is going off like, fuck.
This is the end of the line.
You know he can beat you. The worst thing is, he knows you can beat you. And it's really Batman like, fuck it. Alright. I have fucking nothing left. It's a sad issue because it still gets worse.
It shows his vulnerability.
True. But it gets better and we get a different insight on it too, which totally threw the whole comic completely fucking off, dude. So, as Bane just continues assaulting and owning Batman, dude.
Straight owning.
Telling him, oh yeah, dude, it's bad, dude. He starts threatening, I'm gonna go after your Robin kids. I'm gonna kill that butler of yours. I'm going to destroy Gotham. Like, I'm going everything you fucking love.
Fulfill Ra's al Ghul's fucking destiny.
I'm going to do this, dude. And it just relentless ass kicking, beating the shit out of Batman, dude. And again, it was sad to see, but again, I love the heart of Batman in this one, dude. And Bane's kicking his ass, and the punches are like, don't you know who I am? Don't you finally know me? Don't you finally know who I am? I am Bane.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. You're Bane. But I think you forgot. I'm Batman. And as he's getting his ass kicked, dude, he just gives like a pussy headbutt to him. But like he's getting rocked and it was just trying to him be patient about getting rocked. Like rope-a-dope. Gotcha. So, and if we got any boxers, fans, like that's exactly what Batman did. But when he goes down, it's really cool, dude, because, I'm going to read some of the story now, dude. And it was really cool in his inner monologue starts going off for Batman again, dude. And it says, and after that moment, Bane finally understood that though you fall, though you want to fall, though you need to fall, you are never done. So just the heart, like, I work fucking two jobs, dude. I'm killing my fucking self. There's no fucking quitting, man.
Yeah.
So this made me feel good, like, holy shit. Like, yeah, that's why I do it. Because fuck, there's no fucking quit, ever. And there should not ever be a quit in anybody, dude. So that's why it's Book of the Week for me.
Nice.
And even it even got better. Go ahead, you got it?
Sounds like a really good book.
And it gets even sadder right now, though, because here's the fucking twist that I want to mention, too, dude. Is his inner monologue goes off again, and he's bloodied, beaten, like he's ready now. So him and Bane are fucking both fucking down, and he's like, "Fuck it, I can finally just let my heart fucking drop. Fuck it, like I'm done. I think I died a good
tapping day. Out."
Totally, his inner monologue goes off, dude. You vowed to win a war. That girl was your way to win. And so you did this, suffered all of this, for the possibility of. Now, this one was beautiful because the whole issue was not his inner monologue going off. He was having a conversation with his mom. So, he came to terms with, I'm going to fucking die. And they show a panel pages at the end with his mom talking to him like, you don't need to have this beautiful death that you call it. We're proud of you. Just come home. Like, it's sad because it's like, he's fucked up anyways.
Yeah.
But it shows him as an adult, as Bruce Wayne, and him having this conversation with his mom, like, all right, this is done. Like, I can finally join you guys. I'm ready to fucking tap out. And as it's his mom, you finally catch it's not his inner monologue the whole time talking to him. It was like, you keep putting yourself through so much fucking bullshit. Just come fucking home. And we finally get his inner monologue saying to his mom, no. Like, even though it looked like he was ready to die, he picks himself up like, I'm not fucking done yet. So it looked like he was going to tap out on life. And even though he knows he was that close to being with his parents again, dying, and just the comfort of, okay, I'm at peace with, I'm going to die. But for him to still pick himself up and be like, no, there's still work to fucking get done. Beautiful book of the fucking week. Loved it. It was fucking great, man. So, anyways, that's all I got. Adam.
Damn.
Yeah, that was powerful, dude. It was good. I loved it.
You put me like I was there, man.
That's what I try to do, dude. That's what I try to do. And it's this one hit me because, again, the whole work so much. And the way Batman is normally written is, again, I am the shadows. I'm the knight. I will attack. Like, right. Don't fuck with the people with Gotham because I will fuck with you. That's what I would write Batman. And to finally get a glimpse, like, his inner monologue that sounds like his voice, so similar to his voice, is not his voice until the end. You realize, like, shit, homeboy was ready to. Magneto, thank you. That's our fucking cue. All right, guys, you guys can find me at For the Villain on Twitter, at comic_Instagram. Oh, fuck, man. I said that wrong. On Instagram, you guys can find me at comic_Instagram. Fuck Instagram. You guys can find me at For the Villain. You guys can find my boy Adam at Mem the Beaner. I got all fucking jazzed about that review, and Magneto scared the shit out of me, dude. Motherfucker.
Motherfucker.
Pablo, thank you for coming out, man. I know.
Thank you for the invite, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man, we've been wanting to have you on the show, so we have you coming up in 14 more episodes, I guess. All
right.
Which is equivalent to 2.5 months. And I'm still writing it. And those episodes are work. But fuck me, I think you guys are gonna fucking have fun.
Alright.
I'm bringing good. Like fucking shit where all you guys, you guys are gonna be laughing your asses off. And you guys are gonna clown on each other. And you guys, it's a game show.
It's a
game show, dude. Like,
alright.
Pop culture, stupid 80s shit, 90s shit, music. I'm gonna hit everything where it'll ring with each of you guys and be like, motherfucker, I got this. And then if you guys drop the ball, that's when you guys are going to start busting each other's balls.
All right.
And I know it's work. It's been work for the past. Been working on it for like the past 3, 4, 5 months. And I just don't have it down. So I have 2.5 months to get it unlocked, dude. But all right, man. Our listeners, dude, where can they find you? Hit me. I don't know, guys. Hit me up. He is not anywhere you can find him.
No, not really, man. I'm really stay off the net. I mean, like...
Yeah, and I love how you are totally off the fucking grid.
I'm not, like, completely off the grid, but, you know, just not into that social media stuff. Man. Yeah, just, I know, it's man. Just not my shit, you know?
Well, since I don't have you on that often, and I don't see you, a few of our listeners actually, we have a listener, Jonathan Villanueva from Florida. He would always bust Adams in my balls like, I know you guys are fucking lovers. Like, the way you talk about him all the time.
You've been exposed, my friend. Yeah.
I would have to say a biggest compliment to you, and I'm glad I can say it on air, and this I can put up, because it's not about you. Is you've been in my life a long time, dude, and there was a time where I was a really bad fucking person, and knowing who I had to dissect out of my fucking life, and who I couldn't afford to fucking lose that would still push me. I need that solid fucking rock, that iron that I fucking need in my fucking life. There was no way out of, for one, that got cut out of my life. I couldn't fucking let go of you, man. So always a fucking pleasure, and I love talking to you. And
thanks, man. That means a lot, man. I appreciate that. And, you know, I mean, since the beginning, it's just like we've been good friend since the first time you met, man.
Just about.
You, man. It feels just like we hit it off right away.
It feels like it.
Nothing's really changed since...
We just don't see each other, man. And we can always pick up like that. Exactly. All right, man. Oh, well, thanks again for coming back. All right, guys. Share the podcast more than anything. If you like the reviews, let me know. We're going to put those issues up. Besides that, what the fuck news? We got hit us up, guys. We'll catch you guys next week. Peace out.
Peace.